God bless you. My Bible is heavier than this podium can handle. It's not sheet music. Anyway, I was rather surprised when Pastor Sean asked me to preach. He said he had on his heart for some time to allow me to bring forth the word here. I do it regularly in the Spanish congregation, so if I begin speaking in Spanish, say something, okay? Because that's what I'm used to doing. As I was considering the things that the Lord has been showing me lately, how many of you have a continuous conversation with the Almighty One? I do. I put a lot of my time in meditation on His Word. It's my go-to whenever I'm driving. Unfortunately, there are drivers out there that get me out of my go-to. So, I'm not perfect yet. He hasn't given me the peace that passes all understanding, at least the understanding of drivers in Florida. However, one of the things that he was talking to me about recently as I was going before him, I kept asking him, you know, wouldn't it be great if I could go back in time? You know, go back and correct all of those mistakes that I made. You know, go back to high school and actually study. You know, wow. Go back into the Air Force. And instead of learning how to smoke and do drugs, resist all of those temptations. Go back in time and make all of those mistakes good. But Lord, I want to go back without forgetting You. If I go back, I want to remember everything I know about You, so I'll have even more time to discover more. But you know what the Lord told me? He told me that it was in the midst of all of my mistakes, it was in the midst of my addiction, it was in the midst of sickness, it was in the midst of all of these things that He was able to reveal Himself to me. And as I thought about that, I realized that, gee, I wouldn't change a thing. Because if it wasn't for all of that revelation that He gave me through my mistakes, I wouldn't know Him like I know Him now. It would be impossible. And as I realized that throughout the Bible, there are many names that have been given to God. Many names. God only named Himself a couple of times. He said, I am. You know, He was short and to the point. I am. And He told Moses, I am the Lord that heals you. But most of the names that we see up there were names that were given to Him by men who had received an encounter with Him, who had learned that God was the God who provided for them. Jehovah Jireh, when Abraham erected an altar to give glory to the God who provided a substitute sacrifice for His own son. If we look throughout the Bible, and we look at all of the different ways that Jehovah is named, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shamel, or Shama, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. We realize that it was men who gave Him that name. For the Lord, He is simply, I am. But the weird thing is that I discovered that God is actively pursuing man for the purpose of revealing himself to us. God is not a static God. He doesn't sit out there in the universe someplace and kind of hope that we'll get around to understanding who he is. He is actively pursuing us. God knew us before we knew him. I remember the day that he came and did something in my life that just had me freaked out. This was before I knew him. One day, as I was coming home from work to the barracks at Ramey Air Force Base, I was in the Air Force. I was on my motorcycle, imagine me, on a little Honda 90. You know, I mean, I looked like a grasshopper on the back of a ladybug. But I was on my way home back to the barracks, and as I got to the intersection where my barracks was, some guy ran a stop sign. And I had no way that I could avoid this guy. But all of a sudden, time slowed. And my logical mind just lost all emotion, and I just started, well, if I hit him in the front, I have this option. If I hit him in the center, I'm dead. If I hit him in the rear, well, I might fly over him. I'll go for the front. But at the same time, and this is what freaked me out, I was also standing alongside the road watching me go by. Now, you tell me that that's normal. No, I was standing alongside the road watching me go by. At the same time, I was in my body making all of these decisions. And in my flesh, there was nobody along the road. But when I was standing on the side, the street was populated with all kinds of witnesses. And I felt this presence behind me. I didn't know who it was. I didn't know what it was. All I knew was I was afraid to turn around because that presence was so powerful. And I ran into that car. I did a triple flip. Crushed his windshield with my shoulder. Slid off the front of the car onto the pavement. There was not a scratch on my helmet. I don't know how that happened. I had trauma to the knees. Not really bad. And I had a little scrape right here. Sitting on the ground going like, what in the world was that? I walked away from something that could have very well killed me. And it wasn't until much later, after I came to know the Lord, that the Lord brought that back to my memory and showed me who it was that was standing behind me. It was my Lord Jesus. God knew me and protected me and loved me before I ever knew him. God is active in our lives, and he's active in revealing himself to us in our lives. But many times we don't recognize what he's doing. We don't understand who it is. We just say, wow, that was a trip. Of course, I was in drugs then, so it was really a trip. Wow, I don't know how to explain that. And you know, unfortunately, that led me into mysticism. That led me into doing things like spirit writing and leaving my body. All of that kind of stuff that's part of the occult. And I was really into that. Until the Air Force sent me to Langley Air Force Base in Virginia. And the people downstairs were Christians. And they came up and invited me to a Bible study. And I had a Catholic Bible. I was raised Catholic. I'd never opened it. It was given to me at my graduation from high school. And I said, well, I've always wanted to know what was in here. So I went to a Bible study. It was on the book of Jonah. Very interesting book, actually. But in the middle of this Bible study, they had a tape that was a testimony from someone who had been involved in the occult. And suddenly, God gave me a revelation of how close I was to stepping off of a cliff in the spirit. God revealed himself to be a light under my feet. I saw what I was about to do. I saw my end. And I repented and accepted the Lord. I changed. I turned away from all of that. God revealed himself as the God of light in my life. Later, he showed me that he is the God who provides for me. I've given that testimony during the offerings about how I tested him to see if this thing that I had done was real. And that debt that I had been in just suddenly started getting better and better until I paid off the debt, and all of a sudden I was able to tithe and I was able to do so much more without a pay raise, without any difference in my income. Somehow God revealed himself as my provider. Later, it was healing. God provided a healing for me for something that was growing in my throat. I was a smoker. You can imagine what it might have been. The doctors insisted that it was either a tumor, it could be benign, or it could be malignant. Why he could say it was benign, since it was growing quickly. Benign tumors don't grow quickly. The doctor said, you're going to have to get an operation. And I was learning to trust God. And guess what happened? I told the doctor I wanted a second opinion. He didn't understand I was looking for God. So he sets me up with an appointment down in Bethesda. That's where all of the doctors that treat the presidents are. Yeah. I was going to go to the preeminent doctor of the ear, nose, and throat. But I couldn't get in there for 6 months. And I said, well, that's enough time to get healed. And I spent so much of my effort trying to force my faith, trying to force my belief, praying, fasting. And it just kept getting bigger. And then all of a sudden, a call came to the church. They needed people to man the telephones for a telethon at CBN. That was big back then, CBN. So, contrary to my nature, I'm an introvert, and I was a babe in Christ. I didn't know much about the word. I volunteered. Go figure. What led me to do that had to be supernatural. Because it sure wasn't the natural me. And you know something? For 3 days, I manned a telephone down there. For 3 days, 99% of the calls that I got were from people who were trying to quit smoking so that they could accept the Lord. And all I could do is share with them, come as you are. In his time, he will deliver you. And here I am. I'm also a smoker. He did, in his time, deliver me. Sometime in those 3 days, I completely forgot about my problem. I forgot that I was sick. I was just fascinated with all of these calls that were coming in and why it was that, I mean, did they have some router over there that automatically determined who to route to me? I don't know. All I know is that during those 3 days, sometime during those 3 days, God healed me completely. I mean, it disappeared, like gone. When I forgot about it and went on to do what he had called me to do, that's a revelation of God. It's not by your might nor by power. It's not by your strength. It's not by what you do. It's what he does. He is the God who heals us. I wasted so much time in prayer. I gave up so many delicious meals that my wife provided. And my wife's a good cook. You can tell. I wasted so much of my time because I didn't understand who God was. But in the midst of that, he was actively revealing himself to me. It wasn't that I was seeking a revelation of God. I was selfish. I was seeking a healing for me. But God was seeking to reveal himself. For many years, I was still a smoker, still an addict. I wanted to quit so bad. I tried to quit so bad, and I couldn't. I finally got to a place in my addiction where I literally went out to the park and cried out to God and said, God, I am one worthless. I have taken this wonderful salvation that you have given me and I have trampled it in the mud. I am not worthy of this salvation. Over the years, the devil tried to get me to reject God. But God had healed me. God had proven himself to me. I couldn't reject him. I asked for strength to overcome. I asked for a stronger will that I could put this aside. I asked for anything and everything I could in order to be delivered from my addiction. And I couldn't. Until that day in the park when I cried out to God and said, squash me. Put me out. I want you to eliminate me. Take me off the face of this earth because I can no longer live this way. Believe me, it was very traumatic for me. I literally was asking for him to send me to hell if it took that. It's got to be better than what I'm going through. But at the end of my cry, I said, but if there is anything that you can do, I'm glad I said that. Did you know that the next time I went to go and get my drugs, I couldn't find anybody that had them? Imagine this. Puerto Rico. Transshipment point of the majority of drugs coming into the East Coast of the United States was completely drug-free for 6 full months. No one anywhere could get a hold of drugs. Never before and never since has that happened. When I was finally free of the drugs, the physical part, I realized God took me up on that. If there's anything you can do, he did it. And when I came to that realization, when I realized that my God was willing to do that for me, I decided that I would never go back to Egypt. No, I'm going on to the promised land. I've never had a problem, never been tempted with drugs since. Did I do it? No, I proved that I couldn't. Who did it? God did. When did he do it? When I finally confessed to him that I'm a sinner, that I have a sin nature and that I cannot change myself. That's when he decided to change me. He's the only one who can change you. Did you know that? I don't care how religious you are and how much you try to obey the law and how much you try to do what the church tells you to do. If you're doing it in your will and your strength, you will never succeed. Everything that has happened in my life has been an act of God. Giving me my revelation that he's a living God. He's not far, far away. He's here with me. Same way with cigarettes. My God, cigarettes was even faster. I tossed my cigarettes up on top of the bureau and I said, you know, Lord, I've tried to quit so much and I can't do it. But your word says that you will deliver me from temptation. So if you can't deliver me from the temptation of smoking these cigarettes, then I don't know why I believe in you. I expected lightning to come right through that cement reinforced ceiling in my home and make me a crispy critter. But guess what? When I admitted that I couldn't do it and that he had to, I was instantly delivered from the temptation of ever smoking a cigarette again. I've never been tempted since. And I mean, I was smoking 2.5 packs a day for over 6 years. I couldn't stop. But God can transform me. And he did. Why am I sharing these things? Because God showed me that he is actively pursuing me and that he is very much involved in my life. He wants to reveal himself to me. The day I was first asked to bring a message to the church, I went like, say what? Who, me? I don't know how to prepare a message. I don't know how to speak in front of people. I'm an introvert. When I stand before people, my knees shake. Well, it used to. But you know something? Although everything in me was saying no, I had enough of a relationship with the Lord Jesus to ask him first. And you know what he said? Do it. That's not what I wanted him to say. I wanted him to say, yeah, I understand. It's okay. And then I said, but I don't know how to do this. What do I do? And all he said was, share with them what I am sharing with you. And guess what? That's exactly what I'm doing today. That's exactly how I've preached over the past 25 years. Here's my sermon. No PowerPoint. I don't think I could adhere to a PowerPoint because all I want to be is his mouthpiece. I don't want to say anything to you people. I honestly don't. I don't know what your circumstance is, but he does. Every one of you has had an intervention of the Lord, or multiple interventions of the Lord. And many times you didn't even realize it at the time, and you probably still don't. Because you haven't thought back at that time when that strange thing happened. It was God revealing himself to you. God wants us to have a relationship with him. He doesn't want to be a God from afar who makes decrees and expects everyone to bow before Him and worship Him. He wants us to be His children. He wants to be involved in our lives. You see my granddaughter down there? You think she can provide for herself? Do you think she can heal herself? She can't even communicate for herself. But we do everything that she needs for her. As a grandfather, I love holding her. I wish I could talk to her. Well, I can talk to her, but I don't get much of a response other than a... Oh, yes, those are the best responses. But the whole thing, the whole point is this. He's our Father. We are His children. And in many ways, we are just as much an infant before Him as my granddaughter, who only has 5 months. We can't take care of ourselves. The world has convinced us that we can. The world teaches us that it is by our will, by our effort, that if we join a 10-point program, we'll be able to be free from this or that. Or if we go on a certain diet, all of the pounds will melt off. Believe me, they don't. My wife has had me on a diet for 40 years. It hasn't helped much. Maybe God, in His time, will give me a perfect body. Of course, I might have to pass from this life first, but that's okay. In Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to present our earthly nature, our worldly nature, our carnal nature, our sin nature to God. He isn't saying, clean yourself up, and when you're perfect, present yourself as a holy and an acceptable sacrifice. He's saying, as you are, present yourself. And consider it as a holy and acceptable sacrifice to me. It's what He wants. And He says it's only reasonable. He doesn't say it's an extraordinary thing that you're going to do. He just says, it's reasonable. I'm reasoning with you. Give me your weaknesses, for in your weakness I am strong. Give me your addictions, because I can transform you. I can change you. Give me your sickness because I am the Lord, your healer. He doesn't say, hey, make yourself perfect. And when the church puts their stamp of approval on you, I might have a relationship with you. It's not that way. We cannot be conformed to the way the world thinks. We have to understand the way God thinks. Before we knew Him, He was pursuing us. And He's still pursuing us. Every day He looks for an opportunity to reveal Himself to us. Those of you who have a prayer life, by the word prayer in Hebrew, can just as easily be translated as meditation. My meditation is on Him. When we are in meditation, God speaks to us. Or at least He does to me. When I consider His Word, He begins to open His Word to me. When I consider His ways, He starts revealing even more detail of His ways to me. It's one of the most favorite things that I do, is meditate on the Lord. And while I'm meditating, guess what? He's transforming my mind. There is not a person or way on the face of this earth that could possibly convince me that God is not real. I've had way too many experiences with Him. He has shown me over and over and over His reality. He is a living God. That means He's daily involved in our lives. He wants to walk with us in the cool of the morning. And He doesn't care that you have sinned because, guess what? Jesus paid the price. Jesus tore down the barrier of sin that stood before mankind and kept him from entering into the presence of the living God. That barrier is gone. And I don't care what you do, you can't raise it back up. So go. Go into the presence of God. Let Him reveal Himself to you. And He will show you who you are in Him. That's what it's all about. It says in John chapter 1, "For those who have believed in His name, He has given them the power to become the children of God." Believing isn't enough. That word power means you have permission, the authority, you have the right to become His children. But it takes something on our part. It takes a desire in our heart to become a child of the living God. It takes love for our Father in our heart to become a child of the living God. It says further, "Who are born not of the flesh, nor blood, nor the will of man, but who are born of God." God's given birth to each and every one of us here, I hope. If He hasn't, then I extend an invitation to you. Because He wants to. He wants to be an active part of your life. He wants to be your Father. He wants you to be His child. He doesn't want you to follow after the things of this earth anymore. All that is in this world is as dust, and it will pass away. But in Him you have eternal life. In Him you will abide in His presence forever. Here and there. Music team, you can go ahead and come on up. Oh, I've extended past my time. My invitation to you is simply this. Reflect on your life. Think back. Think back on those strange occurrences that have happened. Consider how God is trying to reveal Himself to you. Meditate on His Word and listen for Him to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to give you revelation of Him. He wants you to be a true child of His. Jesus was only meant to be the firstborn, not the lastborn. So my invitation to you is this. Please seek out that relationship with Him. Allow God to reveal Himself to you, and He will be most pleased to do so. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks, Lord, for your word, for speaking to me and giving me things to tell your people, Lord. I ask your spirit of revelation to move in the midst of this congregation, Lord, and to those who may hear this message, to turn their hearts and lives over to you, Lord, so that they can also have an incredible revelation of the living God, so that they can also declare that you are the Lord who heals us, the Lord who provides for us, that you are wonderful and counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace in our lives. Lord, that you might reveal yourself in all of your majesty, that we might know how much we are loved. In Jesus' name, amen.